It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
And I know Gary Francis not afraid. Well, he might be afraid a little bit because he's out poking the man. What are you poking the man with? You're doing here in Arizona, man. You spend a few days here.
Well, we're going to be poking around. I don't want to reveal too much on the air here, but we're going to be poking around with some cameras, looking around, and I do want to get out and talk to the Arizonians about the immigration bill and get their take on it. And, of course, Eric Holder's suing of the state and all that. So, it'll be good. It'll be good content for the show next week on the Reality Report, as well as for our film, Camp FEMA 2.
You know, I know we've talked about it, when this was really going on. And I know the initial response of a lot of people is that, well, yeah, gotta take care of immigration. Certainly people that are your audience, a lot of the Restore the Republic guys are more, conservative constitution, we're being invaded by. But, I really went after these guys, and we still are, because this whole thing was national ID.
Well, I'm still getting emails. There's a few that come in, and they say, you're sabotaging, this effort to solve the immigration problem. And I just say, look, you got to watch some of these shows that I've produced in the past that talk about how Real ID or National ID is embedded into this project or into this bill, SB 1070. And, I've had people come at me in all different angles, but it's a complicated issue. I want to solve the problem, but I don't like the way they've chosen to solve the problem.
Well, it was always camouflaged. In this, it always was. It was the way that they wanted to use immigration as a method to get what they always wanted. Not only are they able to track you on the internet, not only are they able to get your favorite color and your favorite books and who all your friends are and pictures of your friends, pictures of you and your friends without their clothes on, pictures of you and your friends doing crazy stuff, drinking beer in college. On and 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 on. They want to be able to have you in a database, a list that all of this information is immediately available to any government agent in the field by just coming in contact with you.
I mean, those databases already exist. They're there, but they don't publicly acknowledge it. They say, oh, they're not. I firmly believe they're already there.
Oh, no, there's no doubt. But I'll tell you, this is what John Bush and Catherine Bleich, their whole thing is. They go out, and they when they had the MIAC report in Missouri, and they said, hey, man, you got a Ron Paul bumper sticker on? we're going to pull your butt over. And, they said, oh, heck no. And they really, stepped in it there. Well, what happened was they started to discover these things called fusion centers, which is the physical manifestation of you have multi-jurisdictional task forces that are there, and the promise that they make with local law enforcement, you enter all this personal data, all of the information that you have on everyone, and then we will make available to you all the information that we have from everywhere else on everyone, and we'll have this big brother, oh my goodness, everybody gets to share kind of thing, pinky swear, we promise, just keep putting in all the data. Well, of course course they say, oh, absolutely. I remember in the mid-90s, all the conservative Republicans freaking out when it was Reno and the Clinton administration saying multi-jurisdictional task force is evil right up until they want it. It's always just keeps expansion of government. And everything that Obama screams about what Bush was doing, he takes it and amps it up, including the war. So I'm going, it's not, you know, left, right, Republican, Democrat. It's the left jackboot and the right jackboot or the jackboot on your throat parties. And I'm going, look, it's us versus the government. The Patriot Act wasn't about protecting us from terrorists. It was about protecting the government from us.
Ernie, are you racist? You must be a racist talking like this.
You know what they say? You know, we have a lot of the guys here going to a lot of these protests and so on. Like today, I think there's one. You know, they're constantly, we're putting up signs, constantly just doinking the man, calling Russell Pierce Mr. National ID. And they hate that because it's true. And there's so much evidence, and we know that as time goes on, this will come out. Now, is the information out there? Yeah. But I'm not going to justify it, legalize it, help them. I'm not going to make it illegal for me not to want to voluntarily participate in it. It's like, no, thou shalt provide all information. And so when they, you know, do the next draft or mandatory youth service to the country kind of crap that Rahm Emanuel wants to do, and they show up at your front door with the, you know, the raised embossed seal with the president's signature on it on their parchment and clipboard and their fine uniform, fine hat, and the always available gun, say your child now belongs to us, they can kiss my butt. So I'm not helping them. And it's not so much whether they got it or not. That's not what they want. All these people that they arrest and these people in Free Keen and so on, all these activities that they're doing, they arrest them not because they don't know who they are. They know who they are. They do it because they won't acquiesce to the authority. They won't kiss the ring. They need to get in and turn us into a sheep.
Yep.
That's what it's all about. And, you know, what kind of feedback do you get from your activities? I mean, we're more like, we're street activists and we're doing, and then you take advantage of your media and the opportunity that you had to highlight what a lot of these people around the country are doing. You know, so tell us what kind of impact and feedback you're getting from people.
The thing that Restore the Republic is, and we could talk about that for a minute, you know, Restore the Republic was initially a concept out of the America Freedom to Fascism movement. And Russo always wanted, he saw a lot of division in the movement, and he saw so many things going on. He wanted to create an umbrella. You know, you always hear about, we got to bring everyone together, you know? And that's something Russo wanted to do. So what RestoreTheRepublic.net became was a place where all organizations, all people from all different concepts and actions and activities can come together and work and cross promote and educate. It's really the only place that I know of that people can actually communicate in real time with each other on the issues and cross promote each other. So what we do then with our media aspect, like with the film Don't Tread on Me, I mean, we literally followed in the footsteps of Russo with the screening efforts. You know, we had over 250 screenings of that movie nationwide on the same day.
I saw it when we were in Pork Fest, Porcupine Festival in New Hampshire. They played it that night.
I mean, think about the ripple effect of the mass consciousness that we're affecting at that level. All those places, all those people coming together, seeing a film, hearing a message, and then going out and acting on it.
Okay, now this is the one thing that I got from the movie that I wanted to talk to you about, and I'm glad you reminded me. And we'll probably get more into it in the next segment, but this is the point. The movie was very much about, I'll preface it with this, and then we'll get into the next segment. There was a book called Send in the Waco Killers, written by Ben Serpenowitz. He's a libertarian writer, and he's an editor at the Las Vegas Review Journal. And he wrote this book, and it really had nothing to do with Waco as much as it did. There was a hog farmer in Carolinas or something, and you had a federal agency saying, well, you have to drain this and do this, and because of whatever. Okay, then they have another agency. No, you can't do that. It's a wetland thing. And another agency, finally, put them out of business. And he's like, I'm not going. You guys, you know, and he takes take his shotgun in the front porch. Went. Shh. He goes. You tell that Reno to send in her Waco killers. Now you bring it on, because man, I'm not going anywhere. Well, eventually they worked it out and went up for foreclosure, and they had a relative bought it for cheaper than what he owed on it anyway, so it all came out. But what happened was he was telling the story of all the abuses from Waco and many others that the government was doing. Well, what happened after Waco, all of a sudden there weren't Wacos anymore. It really backfired on the government. And they went, you know what, we're just going to go after the individuals. We're going to go after this one little lone little militia thing. We're going to go after this one guy that's raising his, he's standing up for something, and we notice him because everybody else is on their knees. And they go after these guys. And what happens is, then he wrote the book, The Ballad of Carl Draga. A 700-page book, it's only like 16 pages about Carl Draga, was a guy that just had enough. They're just messing with him in New Hampshire, and he went on a gun rampage and shot officials and all this kind of stuff. Because as an editor, he gets all these stories, waits a couple of weeks, and he goes, finds out what really happened. Well, he put all these stories that he did as an editor. He write a column called The Libertarian that was syndicated across the country, and he put them in a book. Well, what happened, you had the first one was all the government doing all these things. Then you had the second book was all the things that the people were doing in resistance back. And I'm going, okay, so we're now the people are in revolt. They're resisting. Should that be consolidated somehow? Can it be? Should it be? Well, I got some more questions along that line of thinking when we come back with Gary Franchi from RealityReport.tv.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Yeah! One man, one goal, one mission. What is that mission? Gary Franchi's out there trying to save the planet in his own way. Oh, I don't know what way that is, but we're going to find out. That's what this show's all about. Oh, Gary, here it goes. This is where Gary and I are good friends. We've known each other a long time. We were co-MCs at the Revolution March in Washington, D.C., where it had, you know, tens of thousands of people out there. I forgot about that. We did this skit. While everybody else is, passing out and putting up signs and all that kind of stuff, we were in the hotel room writing this thing up, and it went something like this. It goes, you know, they say, you know, blah, 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 about whatever, and then we'd go, but we know the truth. And then we'd say whatever the truth was, and then the other guy would do it, and we did that at the end of it. We got tens of thousands of people we know the truth. We know. So you got Homeland Security over our shoulder up on the, you know, in the Capitol building. They didn't like that none too much, you know.
Oh, their sniper rifles and all.
Oh yeah, the bolts got cocked. So we've had fun. We've known each other for a long time. We it's a division of labor. You know, Gary has his focus. I have mine. I tell you, one reason why we don't use the video studio that much, even though we do a lot of videos and we're out in the field and so on, because Gary does such a good job with the RealityReport.tv. I'm like, you know, Gary's got it covered, man, all over. We focus more on the radio and a lot of the activism stuff around here.
It's hard work, man, making those videos. I mean, even if it's a 10-minute YouTube video, fully producing that, I mean, that takes multiple hours, collecting video, editing down context, I mean, finding pictures, working with graphics. I mean, you're going from I used to do radio just like you, and radio's great. It's easy to do
compared to video.
But now we're trying to create the same message, but we're trying to add colors and pretty pictures and make it interesting, and it's
a lot of people, they go to me and they go, how in the heck are you able to do 5 hours a day every day? And I'm like, because I'm not doing video.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't do it. I mean, we have the ability to go live at any time if we wanted to, and we did do that. We ran a pilot episode of a show called The Late Stream a couple weeks back. We're going to do another one soon, and it was just kind of a free flow, off the wall, you know, Skype in, call in kind of a situation.
I saw that. That was cool.
Yeah, so we're going to do that again. We're going to try to make that a monthly thing, and you know, have special guest hosts come in,
It's a lot of work, and you got a team for that. Our team is kind of, I mean, you met a lot of the guys here as they're out there doing their thing, and we are so diverse in a lot of things that we do, and everybody, when it's a volunteer thing, you're only going to get them to do whatever it is that they want to do. And sooner or later, and because you're so successful in doing such a good job with the video, you know, it's hard to, they're supporters of you. They're like, hey, well, Gary's doing it. We'll do something else. So we're doing other stuff. But we like having the video studio. I mean, we use it when we need it. And a lot of times it's just some breaking thing. Man, we're all over it. But so it's a good resource for us. But a lot of our video is out on the street. And that's what you're going to be doing tomorrow. You're going to be on the street doing a lot of stuff. But, you know, this is where Gary and I have a different focus. And this is where libertarians understand this. It's called the division of labor. I mean, not everybody has to do the same thing. In fact, you need a tapestry of efforts. It's what makes it so interesting in the freedom movement. And the thing that I wanted to bring up in Don't Tread on Me is the theme. What I saw was, is there is this steady theme that we are going to free ourselves using the mechanism that is currently in place that got us here to begin with. You know, voting and constitution and legislators and passing resolutions and doing. I mean, I saw that theme. But what it does represent is that this 10th Amendment movement thing, the constitutional militia, the Second Amendment decisions, all this stuff is like, you know, people are rising up. They're rising up against the man. Okay, but they're going to the other man at a local level to get him to do it for him. And I'm going, seriously? You know, really?
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, we're going to the other man. And I do have that conflict at times when I look at what some of the states are doing to oppress their own people. I have issues there. But, you know, before we go ahead and just trash the system completely, you know, we do need to
It's already trashed.
I know it's okay. But we need to get our people there who can introduce these pieces of legislation.
Why?
So that we can fix and push back on the federal encroachment into the states.
How's that working, though? I mean, there's a lot of times that you highlight different states. I think Montana and
Montana, Tennessee specifically in the film.
And I think Missouri had something going on.
Missouri, they had another bill that was introduced. Oklahoma, we talked about. Charles Key.
Well, are these pieces of legislation, or are they just, you know,
Some states go ahead and they pass resolutions, as the one of the legislators in the film says. Well, you know, we want to pass a resolution that takes a snapshot, as she says, a snapshot of our hearts and our ideas. And I'm like, okay, that's cute and all. It's like, you know, it's like putting it on the record, but let's give it some more teeth. Let's move to the next level, and that's where Charles Key comes in with his legislation on the federal tax escrow bill. Which he expounds upon in the film.
Yeah, which was basically, you know, it was never, taxes would be apportioned to the states, okay, by the states. And it was not the federal government has some jurisdiction over individual citizens inside a state. That is income tax thing. So I guess the idea is that, you know, the state will, whatever you think you're due to the IRS, we'll write you a check from the state.
The state collects the money, and then if the feds are complying with all of their, you know, constitutional, you know, mandates, then we'll give you the money. If you guys aren't passing bills that encroach on us, and you guys are doing your job, we do ours, we give you the money. That's basically what the law is about.
Well, you know what's going to happen. The federal government's not going to comply with all that stuff. They're going, oh, is that the intent? Oh, I'm so sorry. I let the cat out of the bag. I mean, you know, of course I know where this goes. There is going to be, like there always is, it's going to be California says, we're going to have a marijuana grower, day law, whatever. And as soon as they actually see the entire planet, it's like, man, marijuana is getting legalized. So what do? They're going to control it and let corporate be. We have stories on Freedom's Phoenix the last couple of days. They're going to start having commercial growers. You have to have the, you know, approved whatever, you know, to be able to do this. And I'm going, okay. So then they do Second Amendment. Here in Arizona, you know, you can manufacture your own, like Montana. We can manufacture our own guns here for Arizona use. Have a nice day. Well, go ahead and try it. You know, and then see what happens. Well, okay.
Well, it comes back to that individual attack. Like, you know, the BATF will come in and they'll raid a specific store or an individual who's creating.
And the state attorney general is going to be there to defend me.
Well, the purpose also of the film was to raise awareness for the power of the sheriff. And the power, because the feds have to check in at the jurisdictional level to say, hey, we're operating in your jurisdiction. We're going to go and raid these guys, you know. If we can educate enough sheriffs, they can say, papers, please, to the feds. Let's see your papers. Let's make sure all your dots are you know, your I's are dotted, your T's are crossed. And if you've got a constitutional sheriff in there who knows what he's talking about and knows that the feds are acting out of line, he can stop him at the line.
You know, here's the question. We went through this early on in the Lovevolution. We had first started, I went ahead and just started making the signs. I knew we opened up a kind of a mini version of Freedom's Phoenix here. We got it cheap. It was some abandoned retail space. And we just started making Ron Paul Revolution because I knew it was going to happen. You know, this was because I knew his message. I knew it was going to explode. It started going. People wanted to get involved. And then there were some people with some money that were interested in helping, you know, and we had a meeting. And we sat down, and one of the people, he goes like this. He goes, Ernie, I just want to know, are we going to provide false hope to people that we are going to convince them that we can use a broken system to get free? If we can vote ourselves free. I mean, we know that's not going to happen. Are we going to be able to educate them now that, I mean, are we causing more problems than we're solving? And my response was this. I go, you know, I've been through this process. I know what happens. The joke that, you know, what's the difference between a libertarian and an anarchist? About 6 or 7 years if you're paying attention. And the reason is you go through a few election cycles and you start to realize how messed up it is. We do this and we go hard on this. There will be an entire generation that learns how bad it is, and they won't be fooled again. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Doobie Brothers, here with Gary Franchi, and yeah, we would never do that. That'd be bad. You know, the one thing that I want to make sure the audience knows, Gary and I are big supporters of each other's work, and I certainly am glad he's there, and a lot of the people that support our efforts support Gary, too, even though we have very, 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 very different approaches. And my thing has always been, look, man, I've been through this. 22 years, I get it. And I go, you better deal with Gary, or you're going to have to deal with, you know, like, not Gary. Because my thing is, in 2000, I was asked by editorial page editor of a major newspaper here, and I was running for Congress, and they said, Ernie, we're not getting, you know, the voter registration's going way down. We have nobody's voting. We're part of, they were so worried about nobody was going to come to the election. I think like this year, they're like, yeah, nobody cares anymore. So they said, we need you in 2000 to write an article promoting voting. And I'm going, man, you are so talking to the wrong guy. And I wrote it, and basically it came down to this. I go, as time people take to the streets, you're going to need libertarians to participate in your debates and stuff, so anybody will watch them, give them any legitimacy. I go, you're going to need us to negotiate with the anarchist. You have created an environment that it's not going to matter what the election computers say, whether they're accurate or not. You know, and this is the article I'm putting in. You can look it up at, what was it, Voting Never Gave You Freedom. I mean, you do Ernest Hancock, Voting Never Produced Freedom, or something like that. I guarantee it comes up. And it was me being very clear. I could see what was coming. We're going to make a very hardcore, clean, informed effort to try and use the system, sheriffs, constitution, legislators, the system that has been given us, for us to try and bring about a free society. I applaud that, but not for the same reasons that Gary does. I am of the opinion that a very focused, real effort to do that will educate people that that's not the way we're going to be free, in my opinion. And Gary says what?
Well, you know, the founders gave us a system. They wrote it down on paper. And
you mean Hamilton, that scumbag?
They signed it all, and and they debated over it, and they crossed out lines. And, you know, the system that they created, you know, wasn't perfect in every sense, and there's things that are in the Constitution that are still up for argument. But I think, you know, we have to use the tools at our disposal because, for one, those legislators, those people that we elect with corrupt voting machines, those people we elect are still bound by an oath that they take. So,
bound by who?
By themselves. They put their hand on the Bible or the Quran or whatever they want to put their, you know, hand in the air and wave it like they don't care. You know what I'm saying? They swear an oath to the Constitution. So we have to use the tools that are at our disposal until we exhaust all remedies.
I mean, look,
we were talking about Bob Schultz earlier. Bob went ahead and created the Continental Congress and the Articles of Freedom, and he held Jekyll Island, and he brought everyone together and tried to figure out a solution. Bob had gone through so many different legislative processes, court cases, and got kicked around so many times. He says, you know what? We got to have our own Congress. We got to come up with the Articles of Freedom. So that was Bob's solution, to go ahead and create that.
It was very... we were very supportive of Bob Schultz's effort. In fact, he had a big meeting here inside Freedom's Phoenix. We have a nice facility here. He had a bunch of people, over 100 people or something. I mean, he went at it. We were very supportive. I went to Jekyll Island, but it was under the condition that I get to advocate for one thing. I go, look, I wouldn't even agree to go until, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 days before. And I said, okay, this is the deal. I want it very clear that I am there for one thing, to advocate for the choice of none of the above. If you're going to have some kind of, you must pick, you know, the support of government A or government B or reconstitution to this or redo that, or we're going to have, you know, pledge our lives or fortune or sacred honor to. I go, am I allowed to advocate, I choose none of the above? How about I just choose none? Do I have that option? If I don't have an option to choose none government, then it's not really an option. Then he's like, all right, fine. So I go, I did my thing, everybody was nice, we got along just fine. But I could see it was already predetermined. We were going to reconstitute what got us here in the first place, this Lysander Spooner thing. If it didn't cause it, sure as heck didn't prevent it. So I'm just going, look, man, there is something else going. Maybe with technology, maybe with a more informed society, maybe with an opportunity if we can get away from government education. Because they use the power of taking money from us against us. And if we can't get away from that, and I don't even see a mechanism for getting away with it using government. It's the beast that devoured us. So I'm, you know, on the, what are the successes on a state level? I mean, I know you have to be talking to a lot of legislators and a lot of state levels, etc. Is there attorney generals on your side or governors or something? I mean, this is what you're doing, man. Give me a ray of hope here.
You know, we rely on the people, Ernie. We rely on the people to use the information that we create through our interviews, through our magazines, through our shows, to become educated and to bring pieces of legislation to their legislators, you know, through electronic lobbying efforts. You know, we have massive email campaigns. We tell people to email this and email that or phone campaign this person. So we don't necessarily rely on the legislator to save us. I'm relying on the people to take action and go to those legislators and put as much pressure as possible on them so they hear our freaking voice.
You know, I think it's just a rising up of people. Just awareness is enough. I mean, they heck with them. They hate being ignored. They want to be relevant. They want to come to us, hey, pay attention to me. You're not paying attention to me. A lot of times that has a lot of impact. And one of the things we haven't talked about yet was Republic, your magazine. Are you still doing that?
Yeah. In fact, we just launched a new program. It's called the Sponsor a Patriot Program, sponsorapatriot.org. Our mission is to wake up 600,000 people with 60,000 magazines. It's a big fundraiser. We're trying to raise $30,000. And so far, we've raised about $4,500 in about 7 days or so.
Very cool. You know, I know a lot of people that support us, support you. They were big fans of your Republic magazine. And, in fact, we, during the Levolution, even here in the last year or so, we would have cases of them. People would just send them to us for us to distribute. They'd buy them by the cases for us to distribute. And tell us about the Republic magazine, because that is a high quality. It has such an impact on so many people. That is the kind of thing I can get behind. That, like you're saying, going to the people, educating them, that was a powerful mechanism.
The website is republicmagazine.com. You can go there. You can get a free digital subscription. You can review everything in digital before you even buy it. So, I mean, there's no risk. But the magazine itself was born from, like all things that we've been doing here with Restore the Republic, born from America, Freedom to Fascism. And we took the concepts in Russo's film that, you know, he touched on this, let's make a whole magazine issue on this. Let's make a magazine issue on that. Da-da-da-dum. Boom. And now we've got 18, we're going on, I think, 19 issues now. You know, we print about 20,000 magazines a month. And, you know, it's just...
Well, don't you get orders for past issues? I mean, some of them are just, they keep getting redone. I get new cases of other stuff. I go, God, man, this was months ago that they did this, but they have a popularity. You do a good issue, they just keep coming back.
The one issue that's really one of the most popular ones is the IRS issue, and that was our fifth issue. We reprinted as issue 12. People wanted that issue so bad. Magazines don't generally reprint issues. It's just, it's very, very expensive. But that was one issue, the IRS issue. One issue I wish we would reprint was the bailout issue with the banker on the front carrying the briefcase with the money flying out and the protesters behind him, and he's being protected by police guards in front of the Capitol. That was probably by far one of my most favorite issues.
You have a tapestry of outlets that you do. You have the web page, you have the social networking ability that you do, you have the request that they actually do something, you know, send an email, letter, do something. Then you have your television reports that you do, you have the magazine that you do, you have the movies that you're producing, you have the internet. I guess, are you doing any kind of podcasting or something, or radio?
You know, we've talked about it, maybe putting something out on Monday, like a little 5-minute brief to try to get people up to speed. But, you know, with everything I do, it's just like one more thing, you know.
Hey, we got that radio thing covered. You know, we're all doing it. It's division of labor. You know, it's division of labor. Well, I'm always happy to promote what Gary's doing. And I'm sure there's a lot more stuff. We'll get into some more of the activities that he and I both are just working to what? How many minds can we free? Hopefully you're one.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, the boys are back in town. It's Gary Franchi from RestoreTheRepublic.com, RealityReport.tv, and me, Ernest Hancock, from Freedoms of the Nest, FreedomsPhoenix.com. You go to today's archive show, you go to FreedomsPhoenix.com, you go down to this afternoon's show on July 21st, 2010. You go in there, you click into it, and you will see all the contact information for today, all the YouTubes that Gary's doing, and he has one, Sponsor a Patriot Program, and it tells you exactly, got good YouTube there, telling you exactly what his project is. What's your main focus right now? I mean, I know you're working on a couple of documentaries you want to be all uber secret about, but, you know, the is that really starting to take up a lot of your time, is producing these documentaries?
Actually, the thing that's most time-consuming is creating the reality report. I have to say that is, even though it's only a 10-minute video, the amount of time and energy that is exerted into that, it takes over everything.
How many a week do you do?
Well, I do one show, and we record on Tuesday. We generally release it on Wednesday, but then we also record interviews with people via Skype, and then we have to chop those up, put the highlights into the show. I mean, we do the special interviews, and then we do the special breaking news alerts and those types of things. I mean, generally, it's like one show, maybe one or two interviews, maybe three interviews a week.
You know, I remember calling you one time and we were talking, and I said, hey, man, I like the title thing. I like that. How do you do this? Is this easier? This do you do it? You got post. I got to show you some of my equipment. I got, you know, a video switcher. I got all this. We need to go over, and you can tell me what I need. But we got a lot of this stuff, and we did it. It's just so time-consuming, and we have so many other things that we're doing. And then when you started really doing a good job on the video, and we could just send you stuff, or we make sure that it got covered, a lot of things that we would do, we're like, oh, man, one less thing we got to do. And it is so costly, the equipment that you have doing it. And we have really good cameras. I mean, I got me a Panasonic Professional 100 P2 card, double deck, whippy dippy, man. Ooh, I got to show you, man. It's my baby. Ooh, it's so sweet and nice. You know, but we have a lot of good stuff, but, you know, it's so much work into doing this, and some of the other equipment that you have, I mean, we're talking tens of thousands of dollars.
Oh, easily.
But it's not millions of dollars like it used to be probably 20 years ago.
No, no. The primary piece of equipment that we use costs about 10 grand. And like all the stuff that we do is completely and solely funded by donations. I mean, just to build the studio, to acquire the cameras, I mean, everything was done through chip-ins, money bombs, you know, hey, look, we need to get this, we need to get that. Here's the list. Here is the laundry list that we need to get. This is what it's going to cost. People, we need your help. This is the goal. Boom. People came, and they, if you build it, they will come. You know what I'm saying?
And you're doing a great job. And we are supported. A lot of people, they go, how in the heck are you able to do all this stuff? Because it's really simple. If you're out there actually doing it for a long time, like Gary and I both, you know, it always takes, you know, certain individuals to be able to coordinate from experience and contacts and at least knowing what you don't know. You know, certain things. I've been doing radio for a long time, and I got the voice. You know, the guys in there were kidding around because we have a sign that we said, you know, you can't hear the government scream in space. And they go, yeah, but we can hear Ernie. You know, so I'm like, you know, some of us have tools. You know, my voice is one. But the one thing I think everybody should take from this is everybody has a skill. Everybody has a contribution. Everybody has, even if it's just sending $5. And if we are successful in doing what we do by just demonstrating that not only have we already done it, we're already in the middle of doing it again, and you have confidence that we're going to do it in the future, and we say, look, we just need whatever, they send the money.
And you know what? It's not just money. It's like, here's a perfect example. We went ahead, we hosted these massive screenings all across the country, over 250 screenings for Don't Tread on Me, Rise of the Republic. And I went to the one that was down in Peoria, Illinois. Great group of people down there. Hats off to the guys that they rented a theater and that they pulled out all the stops. And I was signing the DVDs after the movie, and a woman came up to me and she said, you know, I can't do very much. I said, but if you can just wake up one person, you're doing something.
Pass
you
out
know?
A DVD.
Yeah, it's like that's all you got to do. People think it's like this huge complex, like, I got to storm the castle. No. Here, take my favorite, take a business card with your website on it and slip it in the gas pump slots wherever the credit card goes. So the next guy come by, you got to take it out. It says freedomsphoenix.com. You know, every time you fill up the gas pump. There you go, Ernie.
Oh, I'm so going to rip that idea. You know, we have, you know,
we publish that in Republic Magazine.
Very cool, very cool. You know, we just got a shipment from somebody that sent us these red stickers, the reflective stickers that says paying taxes on it in white. And we're going, what the heck is this for? They're red and it says in white, it says paying taxes, and it's reflective.
With a question mark?
No, it just says paying taxes. And then we're looking at it, we're going, oh, I get it. You put it on stop signs. Stop paying taxes.
Oh. Oh.
We got them out there. They were waiting for you to come. Hey, give me one of those stop paying taxes stickers that's in there.
I love that.
You know, the thing is, I go, wow, we got it. They go, no, 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 we're waiting on Gary.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
So I'm going, okay. Well, you know, these are the kind of things that we just for grins and giggles, you know, for fun. And you know, this camera fraud thing that's been going on.
You're planting the subliminal seeds that will be watered down the line. Yes. I mean, that's what happens. When you put a sticker like that on a sign, when you put that business card in the slot, when you put a bumper sticker on your car, you are planting seeds. And you know what? Someone's going to see another seed that someone else we know planted, and it's just going to continually, the snowball is going to roll downhill, it's going to get bigger and bigger, and then it's going to hit that building, and it's going to go.
Here it is, right here. Look at it.
Oh, I love it.
Oh! It's not bumper sticker size. It's probably like, you know, 3 inches high by about 11 inches long. And you put this on. Stop. And we got them. It's red and white. And it says paying taxes. I'm like, oh, that's
genius. That's genius.
And I'm going, oh, they said, you know, and it had a little stop sign thing there. And I go, oh, I get it.
Oh, God, Ernie, how many of these you got?
Hundreds.
Oh, God, I'm taking some home.
Oh, they're yours, man. You know, this kind of stuff. And what's happened is you multiply that times.
Oh, I love it. I just love it. I'm sorry.
Tens of thousands of people that do this with the Love Illusion. That's what the Love Illusion was all about. You know, the man, they didn't understand it. They were trying, you know, Dr. Paul, Congressman Paul, he's in the House of Representatives on the floor, and they're taking a vote. And this one Republican legislator or congresswoman, she comes up to him, and she says, how are you raising this money? We need to do this. We want you. You're a Republican. And they never give them the time of day before, you know. And they're going, how would you, and you got to, and how are we going to, and your people, and get, and he's trying to, he can't explain to him that it's not controlled. He's like, look, man, and she goes, well, how are you able to do that? And they just put up the vote totals up there, and it's 400 and whatever to one, okay? Like it always is, you know, he's voting no against whatever. And he just kind of like looks up at the board. That's why. Because the people are inspired. They do it on their, all it takes is one person. How powerful is an idea? You know, the movie Inception, it had a big impact on my kids. My youngest daughter, she's like, all of a sudden, she understood what I've been saying.
Yeah, I just saw that movie.
You know, it's what if you can ingrain at the fundamental, at kindergarten age, you know, somebody, you know, everything I needed to know I learned in kindergarten, you know, is, you know, the concept of mine, hey, it's mine. You know, I'll share with everybody. In the end, that's freaking my football, man, or my doll, my bunny, my whatever. Even my 11-month-old granddaughter knows, you know, that's my bunny. So they try and beat that out of you, and it takes enormous amounts of money and propaganda and schooling and television and everything to try.
And pharmaceutical mind-altering drugs.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, vaccines. You know, our granddaughter, we convinced, it didn't take a lot of convincing, my son and daughter-in-law, and my daughter-in-law's mother is a maternity nurse, helped deliver the baby, you know. She goes, nobody has ever, that she ever remembers, anyone has ever refused the vaccinations, but her daughter did. Nope, we're not doing it. And you know when they put the forms in front of you, I couldn't believe it. You're in there in contractions. You're on the bed. They put a little table there. Here, sign these. I'm like, seriously? That's when you do it? Oh, I got to tell you this. You don't know this. 4th of July is her birthday. We're celebrating her birthday. It's a Sunday. Her mother, okay? And she goes, and I go, oh, born on the 4th of July, that's kind of cool. You know, a lot of people think that's cool, you know, being born on the 4th of July. She goes, at the maternity hospital in Tempe, she goes, there's not a single mother in there giving birth on 4th of July. I go, wow, is that normal? Why? She goes, no. I go, why? She goes, Sheriff Arpaio. He sits in the parking lot, and anybody that goes in that's Mexican, papers, please. No anchor babies. Because he can't.
Wait, when did he start doing this?
Hey, they're still doing it.
On the 4th of July?
No, they just stopped coming in. You know, they do that a lot. I mean, they just stopped going. It just happened to be on the 4th of July. I was asking, you know, why there wasn't anybody there. I mean, it wasn't. I guess they were figuring, you know, if you're going to have a baby, you don't want to be doing it on the 4th of July. We'll go in the bathtub or something because you know they're not going to have any illegal alien babies on the 4th of July. That's just not going to happen. So they knew this. I'm going, wow. That's how bad it gets. Well, you know, we're having some fun. We got some other, you know, stop. paying taxes will make it to the next issue of Republic Magazine. You know where that came from? Taryn Lupo. Now, Taryn, he's a doctor that just said, I'm not playing anymore. And he's just, you know, a big freedom-fighting kind of guy, and he makes jewelry, and he does all kinds of, he writes on Freedom's Phoenix. He's just, you know, I'm done.
I love it. I love it.
But I know where to send stop paying taxes cards.